If you've been addicted to stuff, food or drink that you shouldn't be doing, if you've been addicted to watching things you shouldn't be watching and looking at, don't say I can't stop. That enforces that bondage in your life. That keeps the devil's grip of sin in you. No, you begin to say, I am free.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome guest teacher Keith Moore to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Keith teaches how to break the habit of speaking your problems and tap into the power of confessing God's Word.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Keith Moore, and it is my great delight, privilege, and honor to be with you again today to share in the wonderful, life-giving, life-changing Word of God. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Word of God? I just, having learned how to feed on the Word and how to be led by the Spirit, I'd never even think about going back to any other kind of life. There is no better life than walking and living in the Word, being led by the Spirit. I'm so thankful that the Copelands have allowed us to come to you and minister to you during these days. And I'm thankful for them. Keep them in your prayers and speak strong words of faith and support over them as they continue to go all over the world preaching and teaching the Word of God. If you got your Bible with you, I want us to get right back into the Word today. And we've been looking for days now on the subject of the truth about temptation. And our main text is in Hebrews 4 and also in Hebrews 2. So if you got your Bible, if you got your paper, if you got your pen, get it out, lay it out, and be ready to write down important things that are going to come out and important things that God will speak to you personally, specifically, about how these things apply to you. Let's pray, and then let's read. Father, we're releasing our faith again. We're all agreeing together as touching this thing for utterance, precise, and ears for everybody to hear. And Lord, those that are discouraged, I pray that ere this word, this broadcast is through, that they'd be encouraged. And those that feel weak, that before this broadcast is through, they'd be strengthened. We ask for it, we believe for it, and we thank you for making us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, no matter what kind of bondage or what kind of torment you may have experienced, or how long it's been that way, the Scripture says, He hath delivered us from all the power of darkness. You know, Jesus has really already done everything that needs to be done for you and I to be completely free. Whether we're walking in it, enjoying it all or not, it still belongs to us. And so, no matter what you may have experienced in times past, begin to say, just begin to confess, no matter what you're seeing, no matter what you're feeling, how many times you messed up last week, begin to confess, I am free. I am free. I know years ago, I learned something in a situation with a young man that came to me for help. He came to me after I'd spoken in a service, and he said, Brother Keith, could you help me? Could you pray for me? I said, what is it? He said, I want to quit smoking. He said, I've been smoking, and I know it's hurting my body, and I just smoke, you know, one right after the other, just continuously, and I want to quit. And he said, but I just can't. He said, I'm addicted to the nicotine. I'm addicted to the drugs, and I can't quit. I can't quit. I've tried. He said, I've been prayed for. He said, I guess I've had a dozen different preachers pray for me. And he said, I've had hands laid on me. And he said, I've thrown away cigarettes. I've thrown them away by the cartons and cartons. And I go back sometimes and try to find them and still go right back to smoking. He said, I can't quit. I just can't quit. I've tried everything. I just can't quit. I stopped him. And I said, well, will you do something? He said, well, brother, he said, don't ask me to throw them away. Don't ask me to promise you I'll never smoke. I said, I'm not going to ask you to do anything like that. Just this one thing. He said, okay, if I can. I said, you can. You can. I said, before I say it, though, never again say I can't quit. Never. I don't care how much it feels that way. Never say it again. He said, really? I said, never. Never let the words come out of your mouth. I can't quit. I said, it's holding you in bondage. It's holding you to it. If you say you want to quit, you need to believe something else. You need to believe what the Scripture says, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and that the Lord has already delivered you from all the power of darkness. I said, don't say it again. Treat it like cuss words. Never say again, I can't quit. He nodded his head. I said, and here's the thing. I said, I want you to begin to say, I'm free from cigarettes. I'm free from nicotine. Now, if you say, well, I like to smoke. Well, we're not talking to you then. But if you want to be free, this young man wanted to be free. He said, I want to quit. So I said, this is what you do. I want you to confess and say, I am free from cigarettes. I am free from nicotine. He said, but Brother Keith, I'm not. I said, just say it. Never say I can't quit again, but just say I'm free. He said, but what about the smoking? I said, don't worry about it. I said, when you pull out a cigarette, I said, I want you to say, I'm free from cigarettes. I said, when you light it up, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, I'm free from cigarettes. I said, in between puffs, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, I am free from cigarettes. He said, yeah, but I'll be smoking. I said, I know it. He said, really? I said, really? I said, when you put the pack in your pocket, I want you to say it out loud, thank you, Lord, I'm free from cigarettes. I said, when you pull it out and lay it on your nightstand or wherever you do it, I said, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, I'm free from nicotine. I'm free from cigarettes. He said, yeah, but I'll be smoking. I said, I know it. Well, can you do that one thing, though? He said, I guess. I said, sure, do it. Well, I didn't see him for, I don't know, several weeks, maybe a month or two. And I was finishing another service, and he came in where I was, and he came in the back room. I didn't even have to ask him. His face was lit up. He had a totally different countenance about him. And as soon as he could, he made a beeline to me. And I said, tell me what the Lord did. He said, Brother Keith, I'm free. I said, yeah, I know. He has already delivered us from all the power of darkness. When we get our words lined up with his, he said, I did just what you said. He said, I'm smoking. He said, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, I'm free from cigarettes, and I'm puffing, and I'm lighting them up. He said, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, I'm free. And he said, I did that for like, I think he said 3 weeks or so. And he said, I was standing on the corner about to cross the street, and I was smoking. He said, I'd done it so much that it was just habit now. I'm doing it night and day. And he said, I said, thank you, Lord, I'm free. And he said, it hit me. He said, something hit me, and I just knew that I was free. And I put it out. He said, I hadn't had one. He said, I don't want them. He said, I'm free, Lord. And he began to shout, praise God. Listen, friend, the work has already been done in Jesus. It's up to us to agree, instead of our words being stout against God, all the time saying, we can't get free. We need to begin to say, I am free in Him, in what He's already done. And as you agree with Him, the power works in you. Now that works with drugs. It works with, if you've been overeating, if you've been addicted to stuff, food or drink that you shouldn't be doing, if you've been addicted to watching things you shouldn't be watching and looking at, don't say, I can't stop. That enforces that bondage in your life that keeps the devil's grip of sin in you. No, you begin to say, I am free. Say it out loud a few times with me. I am free. I am free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and I am free. Glory to God. In our text that we've been looking at, the Scripture said that we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And his temptations, the Master's temptations, are well known by all believers. We know how that he was led into the wilderness, where he was tempted 40 days and nights. Now, he was tempted at other times than this, but this was a time of intense and prolonged temptation. We know that though he was tempted in all points like us, yet he never sinned. So if we're going to learn how to resist every temptation, we're going to learn how not to give in and yield to sin, he'd be the best place to look at him who has already overcome and never yielded. And we got the record of it right here in the scripture. So go with me over to the book of Luke, Luke the 4th chapter, and let's remind ourselves and let's study this passage to see how Jesus resisted temptation. Because he was pressed. I'm telling you, the enemy hit him with everything he had in the area of temptation. And this had worked on every human being since Adam and Eve, all the way from them up till Jesus. But it didn't work on Jesus. Jesus didn't give in. You know, the ability to resist temptation and not give in hasn't been held up as the ideal that it should be to so many people. You got so many Christians, they're just too quick to say, I'm just a man, I make mistakes, we all make mistakes, and I'm going to sin several times today probably, but the Lord knows my heart. No, no, come on now. That's just being weak. That's just not trying. We are capable of so much more than what a lot of times is preached or people try to act like they're capable of. No, come on. You can resist temptation. I can resist temptation. Jesus is our example. He went his whole life and never gave in to temptation. So surely we can do better than what we've been doing. In Luke, the 4th chapter, we're given the description of how he was tempted and how he resisted. So let's learn from what he did today. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, Luke 4 and 1, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now, the Lord led him to that place, but the Father did not tempt him. It was the devil that tempted him to do evil and wrong. And it says, in those days he did eat nothing, and then when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now we're talking about how Jesus resisted temptation. How did he deal with this? First of all, the Bible said he fasted. Now, why would you fast for this amount of time in connection with being tempted? There's so many things here. For one reason, one point I should say before we do say further is, why now? Why was he tempted now? You know, he was the Son of God and Son of Man when he was 5, when he was 10, when he was 15. Why wasn't he tempted like this then? Why not until now? Well, all you have to do is back up and see that this was the when he was baptized in the river and he came up and the Holy Ghost came on him in a bodily shape and form. And this is when all the anointing and the person of the Holy Spirit came on him, empowering him for service. See, the enemy is afraid of the anointing. He's scared of it. The devil and demons, they are scared of the anointing, because the anointing, what does it do? It destroys yokes. It removes burdens. Well, who's in the yoke-building business? Who's in the burden-loading business? Well, it's the devil. And see, it can take the devil years to get a yoke in somebody's life or to get them burdened down with a bunch of junk. The anointing can destroy that off of them and take all those burdens off of their life in a split second. So the devil is very concerned about the anointing, because it undoes all of his work and ruins his plans, and it sets those that he held captive, it sets them free. And so when the devil saw all this anointing come on Jesus, he's scared, he's concerned, He knows that if Jesus acts on that anointing and puts faith, mixes faith with that anointing, and the people believe in that anointing, that people are going to be delivered and set free all over the place, which they were. So he proceeds to tempt Jesus, because if he could have got him to sin, of course, the biggest thing that would have happened is Jesus would no longer have been our sinless, perfect sacrifice, messed up the plan of redemption. That's the biggest thing. But on a lesser note, if he could have got him into sin and got Jesus into condemnation, it would have destroyed Jesus' confidence, his faith. And if I don't care how much anointing you got on your life, I don't care what kind of call you got on your life, if you don't have the faith to step out into it, if you don't have the confidence and boldness to step out to do what you're called, to use that anointing, there'll be no manifestation of it. And it's sad that there's a lot of people, a lot of ministers that God has called, had wonderful anointings on their life, but the enemy was able to tempt them, to get them into sin. And there's many of these people, I mean, they got tremendous gifts in them, but they haven't ministered, they haven't spoken, they haven't taught, they haven't preached in years. They're doing nothing. There's no manifestation of that anointing. Why? Because of the sin that they got into some time ago, and they're so condemned that they just have pulled away from everything. You know, condemnation causes you to pull back, draw back, and fear. You remember when Jesus led Peter in his boat out to catch that great draft and catch of fishes, and when it all came in, Peter said one of the most foolish things, you might say. He said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." That's the wrong response. This is one of the best days Peter has ever had. He has heard amazing teaching. He's seen miracles. He's got one of the biggest catches of fish that he's ever caught. This is money to him and his family and partners. And he says, "Go away from me." What would make him say such a thing? Sin consciousness. When you have sinned and you feel guilty and you feel ashamed and the condemnation is there, it'll cause you to pull away. It'll cause you to be afraid. It'll cause you to draw back. And remember, the Lord said in Hebrews, he said, "I don't have any pleasure in them that draw back." And the scripture goes on to say, we are not of them that draw back, but those that step out, you know, and reach out and believe to the saving of the soul. So sin consciousness is a faith destroyer. It's a confidence killer. And sin consciousness causes you to draw back in fear. Well, that's one of the big reasons Jesus came, so that even though we had all sinned and come short of the glory of God, we could be forgiven, we could be cleansed, and we could receive His righteousness. Now, a lot of Christians have never learned this, and they've never laid hold of it. But friend, if you've been made righteous in the Lord, you should have no more consciousness of sins. I don't care how many sins you committed or how bad they were. If you're washed in the blood, if you're clean, you've got the righteousness of God in Christ. And when that dawns on you and it's real to you, all your cowardice and timidity and fear and pulling away and drawing back and hiding is gone. Righteousness consciousness causes you to be bold and draw near to God instead of being afraid and pulling away. So the enemy was trying to get Jesus into sin so that his confidence would be destroyed and so that he wouldn't be the perfect sacrifice. Aren't you glad Jesus never gave in? Aren't you thankful? Nothing worked. None of these temptations worked on him. He resisted everyone. He overcame everyone. And he came out and remained our perfect sacrifice, and we're redeemed because of it today. Notice how Jesus did it, though. 40 days, verse 2 says, he's tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. We ask the question, why was he fasting like this? Well, I'm sure it's because the Father led him to. He wouldn't have just done it on his own. He said, "I always do those things that please him." So the Father is leading him to fast. He's not doing this because of the devil, what he's doing. And here's the thing. Why do it? There's benefits to fasting. The scripture said in Matthew 26, Jesus came to his disciples and he said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Why do people yield to temptation? Because of the flesh. The flesh is weak. Listen to Mark's account of this. Mark 14 and 38 in the New Century Translation says, "Stay awake and pray for strength against temptation. The spirit wants to do what is right, but the body is weak." Here's the thing, friend. Putting your flesh under in one area helps you to put it under in other areas. Jesus is about to be tempted. Well, he is being tempted, and he's about to be tempted further through these 40 days. He's not yielding to the flesh, even in the area of natural eating of meals. Why? Because this is helping. He is just in a mode of resisting the desires of the flesh and of the eyes and the mind. Let me say it another way. If you're yielding to the flesh in all these other little things, you know you shouldn't eat 5 pieces of pie, but you go ahead and yield to it. You know you shouldn't watch 8 hours of TV and junk, but you do it anyway. You know you shouldn't do this. Well, you are in a mode of yielding to the flesh. And if something more serious comes up, temptation, you're already inclined towards yielding to it. Yielding to the flesh in smaller areas makes you more likely and inclined to yield in the big areas. Well, same thing here on the opposite end. Putting your flesh under in little areas will help you to put your flesh under in other areas. There's a little 2-letter word you need to use on your flesh frequently. N-O. No. There's a lot of things. I mean, it's not going to move heaven and earth. It's not going to change the world for you to do it. But for your own benefit, you need to discipline yourself and say, "No, I'm not doing that right now. No, I'm not going to. It'd be all right. It's legal. It's not immoral for me to have it. But no, I'm not going to do that right now. No, I'm not going to do this." Fasting. Now, fasting doesn't just include going without food. Fasting can be a lot of things. Fasting, like we said, some secular TV shows. Fasting some movies. Fasting some stuff, you know, that's feeding your flesh instead of your spirit. If we'll follow Jesus' example, we'll be stronger and we'll already be in the resisting mode and we won't yield to temptation. Stay right there. I'll be back in just a moment.
Before he created the foundations of the world, God knew you. God loved you. And his love for you is unchanging. Regardless of what the storms of life throw against us, we have no reason to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. In order to stand against those storms, faith must be developed in God's love, just as in any area of life.
There is one thing that there is little to almost zero preaching, teaching, meditation, and study about in the body of Christ. And that is developing our faith in the love of God.
In Faith in God's Love, Kenneth Copeland brings powerful insight on how to walk in the love of God. In 4 messages on 5 CDs, you'll learn how to believe in the love that God has for you, how to develop your faith in God, learn that love never fails, and how to commit to a lifestyle of love that will share God's love with the world around you. To order your copy of Kenneth Copeland's teaching series, Faith in God's Love, log on to kcm.org and order online. This vital teaching is now available for just $12. To order by phone, you may call us at 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order your copy of Faith in God's Love today and start developing a stronger knowledge and confidence in God's love.
Praise the Lord, there is victory. There is complete victory over all sin in Jesus. Pray this prayer out loud after me right now, please. Say, Father God, I ask you to show me every little thing I should put my flesh under in so I'm stronger to resisting temptations in big things. In Jesus' name. Believe that, and then when something comes up, just make it a practice all through your life. Put your flesh under, put your flesh under, instead of just yielding to it all the time. It'll make you stronger. It'll make you keener. It'll make you more aware. We've got the entire teaching on this series of Truth About Temptation available to you. The Copelands are making it available at the Kenneth Copeland Ministries website for free as a download, all 9 teachings for the whole series. All you got to do is go to kcm.org, follow the instructions, and download it. And, of course, a whole lot of other materials there as well available to you. Tomorrow begins the Branson Victory Campaign. I'm so excited. That's our home. That's our home church. And the Copelands are going to be there. And the Branson Victory Campaign is going to be running through the 5th through the 7th of March. And God is going to do great things. I know it's going to be amazing and wonderful. Pray and see what the Lord would have you do. If you should get there, it's not too late. Get to it. Come join us. I'm going to be with you again tomorrow, teaching on the truth about temptation, and we're getting freer every day. Till then, I'm Keith Moore, and I'm reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website today at kcm.org. There you can purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or a copy of today's product through our online store. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life.
What about 2009? That Babylonian system out there is not going to get any better. That thing has come apart, but we don't have to live in that system. You were taken out of the authority of darkness, and you were given the power and the authority and put into the kingdom of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So get yourself ready. We're moving into that master plan for our lives even more than ever before.
Come join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the 2009 Branson Victory Campaign, March 5th through the 7th, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Take 3 days to ground your faith on God's Word and get answers to living successfully in every area of your life. Go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
We don't have to sin. Now, you have sinned, I have sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the very fact that we had to repent over it proved we could have done differently. That's the reason why we had to repent. We could have resisted it.